Hi everyone. Thanks again for joining us for the Spotlight on Canada. Today we're going to do a deep dive on Fulbright U.S. Scholar opportunities to Canada for the 2020-2021 competition. My name is Peter Rauchi. I'm an outreach and recruitment specialist here at the Institute of International Education based in New York. We also have with us today Dr. Lloyd Chip Taylor from the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina, who will be talking about his experiences on his Fulbright grant to Canada. And we're also joined by Paolo Carvalho, the recruitment specialist for Fulbright Canada. So I have a lot to cover today, and we want to get through some foundational information about the Fulbright program, do a deep dive on what's on offer to Canada this year, and take your questions. So do chat questions as they come to you. We're going to have a lot of time for Q&A, but thanks again, everyone, for joining us. So let's take a look at the Fulbright program. The Fulbright program was established in 1946 to really expand and strengthen the relationships between the U.S. and citizens of the rest of the world. So this is a really important historical context for the Fulbright program, but it also makes a strong application to this day. Really, as a Fulbrighter, you are an ambassador. You are representing the United States, and we want to support your excellent teaching research projects, but you have to contextualize your project in this sense of person-to-person diplomacy, being fully aware that you're representing the United States as a Fulbrighter. The Fulbright program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs. It's administered in the U.S. in part by IIE. And I want to talk about our diversity and inclusion statement for the Fulbright program. Diversity and inclusion is really a key component of the Fulbright program, really part of the DNA. If the Fulbright program is serious about increasing mutual understanding between the U.S. and other countries, which it is, diversity and inclusion is a cornerstone of that. So there's not one kind of American scholar. There's not one kind of American institution of higher education. We really do strive to have diverse cohorts, inclusive cohorts, to really reflect that idea of increasing mutual understanding between the U.S. and other countries. Let's take a quick overview of some stats about the Fulbright program. There have been over 380,000 awards administered since the inception of the program, and we send about 800 U.S. scholars abroad every year. Aggregately across all Fulbright programs, we work with about 160 different countries. Specific to the scholar program, though, we work with about 130 different countries. Our alumni include heads of state, Nobel laureates, recipients of the Pulitzer Prize, MacArthur Fellowship, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Really, as a Fulbrighter, this is a network that stays with you for life. Your engagement with the Fulbright program does not end when your grant ends. We really want scholars that are excited about being part of this exceptional network and engaging with it, staying engaged with it, even after their grant is over. So today we're going to focus on Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program opportunities to Canada. Most of our catalog of awards, not just to Canada, but globally, will feature awards that focus on teaching, research, or some combination of teaching and research. A small percentage of our awards are focused on international education administrator seminars, and that's a different side to the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. But today, we're going to do a deep dive on the scholar program offerings for Canada. So baseline eligibility for the U.S. scholar program, you do have to be a U.S. citizen. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you may be able to apply to a Fulbright program in your country of citizenship to come to the U.S. But for the U.S. scholar program, you do have to be a U.S. citizen. Every award will have different parameters, and some will require a doctoral degree or other terminal degree. Others, though, are open to applicants who have master's degrees and significant professional or academic experience. We certainly have awards that are open to professionals and artists, practitioners outside of academia. If you're applying for an award that features teaching, you'll want to look at any kind of award requirements around number of years teaching or teaching a particular topic. That will be listed in the award description. Of course, if you have served in the U.S. Armed Forces, you are encouraged to apply. And there are some new policies on previous Fulbright grants. You can receive as many Fulbright Scholar grants as you are competitive to receive. You just have to wait 2 years from the end of your grant activity before you can apply for another grant. So I'd like to have Dr. Taylor speak about his experience on the Fulbright grant. So Dr. Taylor, if you can hear me and unmute yourself, we'd love to hear about your experiences.
Thanks for having me. Can everybody hear me? Is it okay? Coming through?
You're coming through.
Excellent. So I will start out by saying that of the things I have done professionally, I am at this point 45 years old, professor and department head at the Citadel, have done a lot of activities. This opportunity to go to Calgary, where I was in Calgary, and to be a Fulbright recipient is the feather in the cap of my professional development. And as was mentioned, the relationship continues long after the award cycle is over. So my family and I went to Calgary. My research is in ADHD and bullying. We went to Calgary 16-17, so I was there for January of 17 through May. And during that period of time, I conducted research at the University of Calgary, but I also was intimately involved with speaking engagements all over the Alberta. And I learned so much about the country and about the governance of the country and how the medical system is different and how that changes the way that patients are treated and seen in the context of ADHD. Those types of experiences and getting to go out and speak and be engaged with the community were really highlights of the activity. We were pleasantly surprised at how different Canada was. I think one of the things that I often hear people say is, well, you went to Canada, that's not so different. And in fact, it is. That's the farthest thing from the truth. There was a lot that I had to learn in a very comfortable way about the country, about the people, about the governance, the organization, and about the systems. My kids went to school there. That was another wonderful experience. I really cannot say enough about how positive it was, both professionally and personally. And then finally, I mentioned that we were able to maintain those relationships with Fulbright Canada. We have now, as a result of those relationships, established a distinguished research chair at the Citadel. So I'm going to have Canadian scholars. We will have Canadian scholars coming to the Citadel and spending 9 months in residence here. And again, those things are events that transpired after. I never would have anticipated. And it really just speaks to what this type of award can do for you, for your institution, for your family.
So Dr. Taylor, thank you so much for sharing that. That's a wonderful insight in not only what you did, but what happened after your grant. I also wanted to ask you if you could describe your trip to Uruguay on the Fulbright program.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking me to do that. And that's also led to some ongoing relationships. So during the Canadian trip, there's an opportunity you have called the Western Regional Hemisphere Travel Award. And I applied for that and was awarded and flew from Calgary to Uruguay and worked in schools there for about a week, talking to administrators, teachers, students, and parents about bullying and ostracism. So basically transplanting some of the work that I had done in Canada to Uruguay. And as a result of that, you know, we had these relationships ongoing. Fast forward to my first year back, I was able to take some cadets down over spring break and do some more work in some of the schools looking at mentorship. And we are currently exploring other opportunities to continue to have students involved in Uruguay and trying to provide insight, service, education, et cetera, to that country. And again, all that happened as a result of going to Canada on the Fulbright. Uruguay was not on my mental map until the opportunity arose, and I just jumped all over it, and it was a phenomenal experience.
Thank you so much, Dr. Taylor. If you can hang around a little bit for some Q&A, I'm sure folks will have questions for you. But that's a really, really, really exciting, insightful overview of what you've done on the Fulbright grant. So at this point, I would like to introduce my colleague from the Fulbright Commission in Canada, Paulo Carvalho, to speak a little bit about his work at the Fulbright Commission in Canada and how U.S. applicants can engage with the Fulbright Commission in Canada. Paulo, if you can hear me and unmute yourself, we'd love to hear from you.
Hi, Peter. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to this presentation. It's very helpful to have the opportunity to speak directly to prospective candidates that might be interested in reaching out to the opportunities that we offer here in Canada for U.S. scholars. Basically, the recruitment position is something that it's very recent here at the office, and it came up because we decided that it would be extremely helpful to have a dedicated person that could provide specific support and reach out to prospective candidates. In terms of the support, we are able, obviously, to clarify the details of each award that we offer, and also to put people in touch with the host universities in Canada that are offering the awards for more information on each of them. One of the things that we have noticed is that sometimes candidates might have specific questions that they would like to ask directly to the universities that are offering the awards, and we offer a pathway to basically to simplify the whole process of reaching out to the university or getting more information on the details to apply to the different chairs. One of the things that I have noticed is that actually in the slide, the email that it's there, it's not my direct email. So my direct email is P, as in Paulo, and then my last name at Fulbright.ca. So any questions that you may have, you can write directly to me, and I will try to assist the best way possible.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Paulo. And I will chat your direct email to the group so that everyone has it. pcarvalho@fulbright.ca. So I'm going to send that to the whole audience. And again, you feel free to either email info@fulbright.ca or email Paulo directly at his personal email. Thanks so much for giving some insight from Ottawa, Paulo. So what I'd like to do now is do a deep dive into the awards that we have available to Canada for 2020-2021. So we have the first award you'll probably see is the All Disciplines Award. This is a very wide open award, really open to any academic field. There are up to 3 grants available under this award, meaning that up to 3 scholars can be funded for this award. Really, English is fine for most of Canada, but if you're proposing a Francophone institution, you want to have commensurate French for the activity that you're proposing. And you can affiliate with university, but also government agencies or research institutes in Canada as appropriate. Let's look at some other opportunities. We have a postdoc award in Northern Issues at the University of Northern British Columbia. This award features one research grant, so only one scholar can be funded under this award. You have to have your PhD conferred within the past 5 years, so this is ideal for a freshly minted PhD early career scholar. A letter of invitation is optional, but again, the host institution is the University of Northern British Columbia. Focus specializations can include things such as natural resources, environmental studies, community development, rural, northern, and environmental health, First Nations and Indigenous studies. And again, there's a lot more information on our catalog of awards and on our website. This PowerPoint will be made available to everyone who registered for the award. Each award is hyperlinked, so if you click the number, you can open the award description in our catalog of awards to see all the details. But this is a wonderful opportunity for someone who has recently received their doctoral degree. Let's look at another Awards Canada, the research chairs at Carleton University. So Carleton University has a number of research chair options available, and they're in different fields of study, different academic disciplines. So the Distinguished Chair in Arts and Social Sciences really focuses on the interface between humans and technology, psychology, linguistics, philosophy, geography, the digital humanities. The Distinguished Chair in Entrepreneurship focuses on issues related to entrepreneurial considerations, so strategy, startups, marketing, social entrepreneurship, and other topics related to the theme. The Environmental Science Chair at Carleton University focuses on things like conservation science, environmental decisions, evidence-based environmental management, water, and many other environmental specializations. And then finally, the fourth chair at Carleton University under the Distinguished Research Chair Award is the Public Affairs in North America Award, focusing on things such as climate change, energy policy, comparative studies between Canada and other jurisdictions. So this award, if you're interested in one of these chairs, you would apply through this award, and you would indicate which of the four chairs you were interested in. And again, this is hosted at Carleton University. Let's look at a brand new award for this year, the Field Open Award. This is a research chair award, and there are two research chair posts under this award. The first is at St. Mary's University. There are a number of specializations of interest at St. Mary's, so strategic priorities, the environment, natural resources, human migration issues, international development, and many others. Then at York University, there are a very broad set of specializations that include things like liberal arts, fine arts, media, nursing, social work, and many, many others. So those are some awards to Canada, but what I want to do now is shift the focus to the Canada Research Chairs, which are different in theme but very similar in structure and somewhat different from the awards that we've already discussed. So there are a number of research chair awards in Canada. Generally, these awards are thematic awards. There are multiple grants available, and each grant is at a specific pre-identified Canadian university. Letters of invitation are generally not required for these awards. There may be some that is optional, others will directly tell you, do not seek a letter of invitation. You're always welcome to be in touch with the potential host institutions, but in most cases, you do not have to procure a letter of invitation as part of your application to apply to these opportunities. You also have the ability to rank the potential hosts in order of preference, and Fulbright Canada may be able to arrange to have you be at your secondary or tertiary choice if the primary choice doesn't work out. So that is an option. That's a special feature of the Canada Research Chair Awards, and really they are very, very different kinds of awards from the other the other awards that we have on offer. Let's take a quick look at the research chairs and do a quick survey of what they look like. The first one I want to point out is the Arts, Humanities, and Culture Award. Potential hosts include Dalhousie University, McMaster, Alberta, Calgary, and Guelph, and there are a wide variety of specializations of focus depending on the particular institution, social sciences, humanities, modern languages, cultural studies, sociology, women's and gender studies, religious identity, cultural critiques, really organized on the very broad theme of arts, humanities, and culture. There are a number of opportunities for this award, and depending on what your academic discipline is, this could be a really great award for someone who works in the humanities, in the arts, or any fields that intersect with culture. Let's look at business and econ. This is another research chair. We have Queen's University, the University of Alberta, and the University of Ottawa. Specializations can include, depending on the host, behavioral management, financial accounting, finance, international business, marketing, strategy, organization and management of info systems. Certainly, Ottawa being the capital of Canada, any kind of policy-related work is of interest there, so environment policy, economic policy, sustainable economy. Those are the different specializations sought by the different universities in this Research Share Award. Let's look at the Research Share in Education, Science, and Technology. We have McGill, the University of Alberta, the University of Calgary, and the University of Manitoba. McGill is really interested in things like language and speech, neuroscience, bilingualism, neuroplasticity. Alberta is really focused on policy studies and ed, math and science ed, international global citizenship education, multicultural education. Calgary is really focused on engineering education, physical sciences education, informal science education. And then Manitoba is really focused on the STEM fields in general. Let's look at the Environmental Sciences Research Share. We have options at Lakehead University, University of Lethbridge, University of Ottawa, and the University of Regina. There are different specializations at each of these host institutions, ranging from things like sustainability, environmental sciences at large, water safety, water resource and environmental modeling, natural resource policy, clean energy, water quality, hydrology, energy security, energy poverty, really a wide variety of different interests focused on the environmental sciences for this award. The next research share I want to focus on is the Health and Food Security Award. We have options at McMaster University, the University of Alberta, the University of Calgary, the University of Guelph, the University of Ottawa, and again the University of Regina. There are specializations that focus on topics such as the built environment, diversity and equality, the global food system, child and youth mental health and wellness, food sustainability, disease surveillance, health law, anxiety, stress and pain, really a wide swath of different specializations focused on health and food security. This is a really interesting award for anyone that works with Native American studies or Indigenous studies, Indigenous populations, the research chairs in Indigenous studies. McGill, McMaster, the University of Alberta, the University of Guelph, and Vancouver Island University have different options under this award that focus on topics including Indigenous law and governance, revitalization, North American Aboriginal law, Inuit and the environment, Indigenous persons in the correctional system, Aboriginal engagement. I mean, this is an interesting topic because, as Dr. Taylor mentioned, sometimes folks don't really think of Canada as being that different. But this is, the ways in which the U.S. and Canada have historical relations with the Indigenous populations in both countries can be quite different. And this is a wonderful opportunity to conduct research or a combination of teaching and research in a field where there are significant cultural and historical differences between the U.S. and Canada. What a great opportunity for anyone that works in any field that's related to Native Americans and Indigenous populations. We also have a research chair in North American Studies. Again, this is really interesting. There are, Canada and the U.S. are very similar in many ways, but there are differences. There are comparative studies that can be made. Brock University, Carleton University, and Carleton University have different specializations sought under the North American Studies Chair Award, things like writing across borders, transnational cultures, language, citizenship and migration, Canada-U.S. economic relations, Canada-U.S. security, conflict studies, foreign policy, North American politics, the social and cultural dimensions of Canada-U.S. relations. I also want to talk about the Policy, Law, and Governance Research Chair. The Balthasar School of International Affairs, McGill University, the University of Ottawa, and the University of Saskatchewan have different specializations sought under this award, and they focus on issues and specializations that include things like conflict and security, the environment and resources, judicial review, jurisprudence, public policy, public administration, science, technology, and society, public health and social policy. Again, a wonderful opportunity to affiliate with one of these pre-identified hosts in a wide variety of topics related to the law. I want to end our deep dive of award options by focusing on the single Western Hemisphere multi-country award, the Carlos Rico Award for North American Studies. This award features Mexico and Canada. So for the most part, in our catalog of awards across our 130 or so different countries, most of our awards are to go to one specific country. However, of the about 470 different awards, there are about 16 awards that feature a multi-country aspect. The only award that features a multi-country aspect in the Western Hemisphere is this one, the Carlos Rico Award. There are up to 2 grants available. You can propose a project that is anywhere from 4 to 10 months, but you must divide your time equally between Canada and Mexico. The aim and the spirit of this award is really to enhance collaboration between and among North American scholars with projects of importance throughout the entire continent of North America. There are a wide variety of specializations sought for this award with preferences for area studies, economics, environmental studies, law, political science, and others. Letters of invitation are required for this award from both Mexico and from Canada. Mexico, in general, will look for intermediate Spanish. English, again, is sufficient for Anglophone Canada, but for Francophone Canada, you should have commensurate French to whatever project you're proposing. So I want to talk about some special considerations for Canada. So first, our language requirements, and as the Carlos Rico Award that we just looked at points out, English, for the most part, is fine for most of Canada. But if you're proposing an affiliation with a Francophone institution, your French should be up to the level of whatever it is you're proposing. So in other words, don't design a project that requires you to have more French than you actually have. I also want to point out the Regional Travel Award, which is a feature of the Western Hemisphere Awards. And Dr. Taylor spoke about his experience going to Uruguay on his Fulbright grant. So his Fulbright grant was to go to Canada, but he was able to apply for additional funding to go to a participating Western Hemisphere country, Uruguay, for a short-term appointment. So this is a wonderful feature of the Western Hemisphere, where you're able to apply to go to another participating West Hem country for a short term. You apply for this generally once you're in country for your primary Fulbright grant. So before we open the floor to questions and further considerations from Dr. Taylor and from Paolo, I want to point out some ways in which you can stay connected to us. You can join my Fulbright at CIES2.org. Definitely feel free to email us at westhem@iie.org or email Paolo directly to the email that I chatted to the group. And you can visit our website. We have lots and lots of resources available. Everyone who has signed up for this webinar will receive a full set of application guidelines. We break down every aspect of the application for you, including giving you sample project statements. There are a lot of resources available to Fulbright U.S. Scholar applicants. Again, we'll make that available to everyone who has registered for this webinar. We also have a referral program where you can refer your colleagues who you think might be interested in a Fulbright grant. And then certainly there are ways to stay in touch with us throughout all social media platforms. At this point, we are at the end of our formal presentation, and we have quite a bit of time for Q&A. I want to open the floor to Q&A and see if any folks have chatted in questions already, but please do continue to chat in questions as they come to you. We'll try our best to answer all the questions that we get. At this point, though, I do want to pose a sort of philosophical question to Dr. Taylor, if you'll indulge me. What is the one thing you might recommend to someone considering a Fulbright grant to Canada?
I would recommend that as they apply, they keep their region of the country and their options open and look for things that might be outside of their box. Calgary was not something that was really on my radar. And as I applied and sought opportunities, it was such a solid match academically and research-wise. So I think an open-mindedness as you apply, an eagerness to embrace the country when you get there. And, you know, you mentioned the ambassador piece, and to me that was really central and critical. Being able to go as an academician and also engage with the culture, that's going to be a significant aspect of what you do in Canada, and it really opens up all types of doors professionally and personally. So I would also say when you go, be mindful of the fact that you are an ambassador, and that is as much, if not more important, than the research you propose to do.
That's excellent. Thank you for that insight. We have a great question. Can the Fulbright grant fund my PhD research? So that's a great question, and it speaks to different aspects of the Fulbright program. Today we've discussed the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, which is really focused on academics, professionals, practitioners outside of academia with significant professional experience. If you do not yet have a doctoral degree, you'll want to look at the Fulbright U.S. Student Program. So that's a different aspect of the Fulbright program. A basic eligibility for the Fulbright U.S. Student Program is that you have to be a U.S. citizen and either just have be just about to receive your bachelor's degree or have already received your bachelor's degree but have not yet received a doctoral degree. That means that Fulbright U.S. student applicants can apply in their sort of the summer between their junior and senior year to start their activity after their senior year, or really anytime after they receive their bachelor's degrees, but before their doctoral degrees. There are Fulbright U.S. student options and grants and different awards that will allow you to enroll in graduate study, or you may be able to take a year of your research abroad and have Fulbright fund it through the Fulbright U.S. Student Program, but that is a different program than the Fulbright Scholar Program. So I have another question. I am a retired academic. I'm a professor emeritus. Am I still able to go on a Fulbright grant? And the answer is absolutely yes. We welcome applicants who are professors emeritus. We welcome applicants who are practitioners outside of academia, independent scholars. But really, you'll want to pay attention to the award description. If the award does require U.S. affiliation, that will be written into the award description. What I think I'll do, I think I'm going to pause the screen and pull up our catalog of awards and show you how to find some of the specific information to the awards. But that's a wonderful question, and I think showing you the catalog of awards is actually going to help you find information. So if you'll indulge me just a second, I'm pausing the screen, and I'm going to pull up our catalog of awards. Our award catalog is awards.cies.org. And I'm going to show the screen, and you should be seeing our catalog of awards just about now. So you'll see when you open awards.cies.org, there are some pretty open-ended basic search functions. You can search by region, by country, by discipline. Because today's webinar is focused on Canada, let's pull up all the awards to Canada, and I'll show you where you can find specific award information. So I've pulled up the award information, the awards to Canada. We have 13 different awards. Let's look at the Canada All Disciplines Award. When you click on an award entry, you can see that the award opens and there are four different tabs that become visible. For the Canada All Disciplines Award, under award details, we get a deeper sense of what we're looking for with this award. There are up to three awards available. So on this award, you can either conduct research or a combination of teaching and research. You cannot just teach, though, so if you only want to teach, this is not the award for you. A PhD or other terminal degree is required for this award, and the award is open to all levels of scholar, including early career scholars. The grant is 4 to 9 months. And you would have to propose a project. You would know how long it would be because you're proposing those 4 to 9 months. The grant can either begin in September of 2020 or January 2021 for one semester grants, but academic year grants have to begin in September 2020. One semester grants are preferred for this award. This award does offer a flex option, meaning that you can segment the award activity into a short-term flex activity, meaning you can go back and forth between the U.S. and Canada. And you can see that applications are really sought in any appropriate discipline, so really wide range of opportunities available for this award. The competition, though, does have some specializations, so they're looking at, there is a preference for issues that focus on contemporary issues relevant to Canada, the U.S., and the relationship between the two countries. You should also emphasize the need to be in residence in Canada. So again, this speaks to the larger issue of why do you need to be there to do whatever it is you're proposing? There has to be relevance to the country. It has to make sense of why you're there. Under award requirements, we see that a letter of invitation for this award is required. We see the information around language requirements, and we see information around the kind of profile sought for this award. Under award benefits, we get a sense of what the award could provide financially, and then there are additional award benefits beyond the general stipend. So there's a fall orientation where there's additional funding. You can participate in a visiting scholars speaker program where you can travel throughout other institutions in the region or throughout the country. There are other add-ons to your grant, and then here's the information around the regional travel program with a listing of the eligible countries where you can go for that short-term travel grant. Then under the country area overview, you get a sense of how the country engages with the Fulbright program. Some historical and cultural and procedural insights are available under this tab here. So the All Disciplines Award to Canada, this is a very, very open-ended award. There are only 3 grants available, so this award can tend to be somewhat more competitive than the other more specialized awards. The reason being is that this award is really open to any academic discipline, so anyone can apply to this as long as they meet the general eligibility criteria. So dancers, engineers, humanities folks, social scientists, everyone in between, really anyone can apply to this award. So this is, again, this will attract more applicants in general than other awards available to Canada. If you are considering Canada, I always like to recommend you consider looking at one of the research chair awards. If you can find a more specific award that fits your academic background and the kind of project that you're hoping to undertake, that is likely to be a little bit less competitive. And we are getting questions about competitiveness, and I'm sort of trying to address these in general as I go over awards. But so, for example, in the business and econ research chair, if you don't really have a background in business and economics, you really wouldn't be able to apply to this award, or you know, a background that relates to business and economics. You wouldn't necessarily have the academic background to conduct a project in things like financial accounting, international business, etc. So this award will not attract as many applicants as the All Disciplines Award, which is a much more open-ended award. Also written into this award is the ability to select or to rank among the 3 different opportunities here. You can rank them in order of preference, and Fulbright Canada may be able to place you in your secondary or tertiary choice if the primary choice doesn't work out. And that's sort of written into the award information under award requirements. You identify host institutions in order of preference in the project statement. For this award, and you'll notice in many of the research chair awards, a letter of invitation should not be sought. You're absolutely welcome to be in touch with Fulbright Canada and with the potential host institutions, but you should not procure a letter of invitation for applying for this award. This will vary award to award in Canada, but the information around this will be under the award requirements tab. Award benefits will also have the potential to defer award to award. You'll want to check out some information under that tab for the award or awards of interest. These award amounts are not conferred until the actual grant is conferred, but you do get a sense of what the award could provide. So I see we have a few more questions. Let's take a let's see what folks have chatted in. Is there a Canada list of host universities, point of contact? Would Paolo be willing to connect us or introduce us to the host universities? I'm going to open the floor to Paolo for his insight around that, but I will say in general that that can be possible, but I invite Paolo to share insight. Paolo, are you able to introduce prospective applicants to contacts at the host institutions?
Hi, Peter. Yes, that's one of the main advantages of reaching us here at the office, because obviously when the applicant is reading the description of the award, it's pretty natural that several questions may arise, and the only way to totally clarify them is if they are in touch with someone from the host institution, and via the Fulbright at the office, we are able to introduce them and to assist them in that preliminary contact.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Paolo. We have a follow-up question. Is a master's degree sufficient? Degree requirements for specific awards will be written into the award description. So for the Business and Economics Award, a PhD is not required. The reason being is that quite frequently folks that are attracted to the business and econ type awards are generally they'll have an MBA or they may have some kind of practitioner degree. So for this specific award, a doctoral degree in business, for example, would not be required. In general, though, an MBA would generally be considered a terminal degree. An MFA would be considered a terminal degree, Master of Fine Arts, if you were applying to, say, the Arts and Cultural Award in Canada. So you wouldn't necessarily have to have a PhD in the arts to apply to that award if you were a practicing artist. But that's a great question. If you have questions, another resource that's available is contact the Western Hemisphere team. So what does commensurate French mean? What is a terminal degree? You can absolutely be in touch with the team here at westhem@iie.org. We can help you with any kinds of nuanced questions that you may have. Let's see some other questions that we have. Are there programs that allow visits outside of the academic year from mid-May to August? You may be able to structure the All Disciplines Award to do that. I'm going to pull back the All Disciplines Award and see what the fine print around the timeline is. But what you might be able to do is do a flex grant to Canada under the All Disciplines Award, and there may be some flexibility under that. But in general, for the most part, you are connected to the academic calendar in Canada, so there isn't necessarily that much flexibility under most of the awards other than the All Disciplines Award. I'm happy to follow up specifically with the person who asked that question to help them think through what a more specific timeline for them could be. But the All Disciplines Award in Canada does offer the flex option, meaning that you can segment your grant into short-term back-and-forth visits between the U.S. and Canada. For the most part, most of the awards to Canada do not feature that. I will, though, emphasize again that the All Disciplines Award to Canada is the most competitive award to Canada, and it may be of interest to you to consider a more specific award if you do fit into the parameters of the more specific award. I have a question about dependence. I'm actually glad that I have Dr. Taylor on the award on the call. Rather, Dr. Taylor, how was it to bring your family to Canada?
It was really, really interesting. I had a lot of apprehension about how that would transpire, all of which was unfounded and unnecessary. And my situation is somewhat unique. We have four children. The three youngest went with us. My wife went with us. We found a house. We enrolled them in public school. And one of our children is from Ethiopia, and he had been in the country for, at that time, 3 years. So I was really concerned about the academic placement for him and the continuing his language acquisition. It was as seamless and smooth as you can possibly imagine. In addition to that, they got to experience something that I think academically puts them in a position to think about the world, to think about cultures, to think about their lives differently because they've experienced living abroad at an early age and understood the differences in the structure of the day, the structure of the school, the structure of homework, etc. So it was really just added to the experience. And then we got to do stuff as families. You know, this ambassador piece I mentioned, part of that, I think, is getting to know where you are. So we would travel into Banff. We would hike. We would ski. We went in the winter, so we had all types of opportunities to do winter activities. And those things, I think, will be memories they'll have that they'll reflect fondly on through their life.
And that's such a great insight. I mean, for the most part, Fulbright grants do allow dependents. There may be additional funding depending on the country, depending on the award, but I find the overwhelming majority, it's a positive experience to bring your family with you on your Fulbright grant, and I'm so glad that you had that great experience, Dr. Taylor. I actually had a question myself about the chair that you established with Fulbright Canada, and I want to preface that by saying a lot of our materials speak to, you know, what is the potential impact that your grant activity could have? Why is what you're doing mutually beneficial to all the stakeholders involved beyond whatever the research or teaching project that you're doing? Can you talk a little bit about the research chair that you established at the Citadel?
Sure. We were fortunate through relationship with Michael Halls, who is the executive director of Fulbright Canada, be able, over the course of the next 5 years, beginning in 2020, we will have one Canadian scholar per year in residence on campus, basically doing the reciprocal of what we do when we go to Canada. And we are actively recruiting for someone who will be in humanities and social sciences in one of our disciplines in our school, and who will focus their work on understanding ethics and leadership in the context of humanities and social sciences. Again, 2 or 3 years ago, I never would have anticipated that would be something that came out of this. But when you have an opportunity to go and experience it, you want to bring it back to your home institution and afford those same opportunities to your students and to faculty. And, you know, I think long-term, those types of collaborations can lead to places we can't imagine at this point. So we were thrilled to be able to establish that research chair, and we are looking forward to ongoing, consistent relationships with our friends in the North.
Thank you, Dr. Taylor. That's an excellent example of the kinds of impact and outcomes that a Fulbright grant can have. So establishing and deepening contact overseas, or Canada is technically not even overseas, but you know what I mean. Really, though, that's a wonderful example of what can come from a Fulbright grant. We have just a few more questions, and we have a little bit more time, so I'm going to answer this question that just came in. Do Canada awards, do they have the option to extend beyond the grant period, or could a research award transform into a fully funded PhD opportunity, as in the UK? So there's two parts to that question. So the Fulbright award the All Disciplines Award to Canada, you may be able to extend that award beyond the grant period. Two things, though. We, IIE, the Fulbright Program, we cannot necessarily help you stay in Canada longer than your grant period. Also, when you write your proposal, I would not advise you to focus on something that falls outside of the parameters of the grant as specified in the award description. So, for example, if it's a four-month grant, you know, don't propose something that's going to take you 12 months, because if the extension doesn't work out, there are too many contingencies that actually weakens your application. So you really want to focus on, for the purposes of the proposal, really focus on what the grant parameters are, and there may be the possibility of you staying longer. So that's one thing. The other side to this question is, can the grant be transformed into a fully funded, fully funded PhD opportunity, like in the UK? That is a different side of the Fulbright program. So we are talking about the Fulbright US Scholar Program on this webinar. There are not options for funding a doctoral degree on the US Scholar Program. There are options on the Fulbright US Student Program to fund doctoral degrees, depending on the country, depending on the award. It may vary in terms of the number of years of funding available, but you'll want to look at the Fulbright US Student Program, which is a separate program from this, and I'll follow up with the person that asked that question with links to the Fulbright US Student Program. But again, the moment you have a doctoral degree, you become ineligible for the Fulbright US Student Program. You then want to look at the US Scholar Program. So we do have a few more minutes for any last-minute questions. I do, though, want to thank everyone for joining us today. I will make a full set of digital resources available to everyone who registered for this webinar, including a recording of this webinar and the slide deck for everyone who registered. That'll be available within a few days, probably early next week, a few days of the recording of the airing of this webinar. But it doesn't look like we have any questions, so I want to open the floor to Paolo Carvalho in Ottawa and to Dr. Taylor for any parting words that you may have for prospective applicants to Canada this year.
So thank you for the invitation, Peter, and for allowing us to participate. Like I said, if prospective applicants have any specific questions that they would like to get clarified or get in touch with OST universities, they can definitely contact us. Even ask questions related to the living and coming to Canada, we can probably also assist in different aspects of questions that people may have if they haven't yet lived in Canada. So if that's something that any of the participants is seeking to get more information, obviously they can just send me an email and we will be more than happy to assist. Thank you.
And Dr. Taylor, any parting thoughts?
Yeah, I would just add, I'm really happy to assist anyway. You are welcome to provide participants with my email address, and I'm happy to help discuss things from the perspective of when I was an applicant and when I was there. If you go to Canada, you will not be disappointed, and my hunch is you'll fall in love with it and you'll want to continue to have relationships with the country as I did, and you will learn a lot more than you ever anticipated learning about a country so close to the United States.
Thank you so much for those insights, Paolo, Dr. Taylor. I want to also thank everyone who attended this webinar. We, again, will follow up with some digital resources, make those available to everyone who registered. But at this point, I do want to end the webinar again and thank you all. And we look forward to receiving your applications to Canada. Thanks so much, everyone.